Welcome to Sermons from St. David's, a ministry of St. David's Episcopal Church in Southfield, Michigan. It's a chance for us to share a good word of challenge, inspiration, and hope as we walk the journey of faith together. You're welcome to join us on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. for live in-person worship. You can also join our 10 a.m. Eucharist via Zoom. Just go to our website for the meeting ID and password at stdavidssf.org. So I sat down this week to write a sermon on this morning's gospel, you know, the one about these three procrastinating characters. St. Luke, they put off following Jesus. So I sat down at my desk to write this sermon, this really important sermon, right before I noticed that my computer screen needed cleaning, which you got to do if you want to be able to concentrate on the characters that you're typing, and you know, you don't want to type on a dusty screen. So I opened my desk drawer. That's where I keep those fancy computer screening cloths. And it's right next to the spare computer cords. I immediately noticed they were complete disarray, having become uncoiled. And they needed rubber bands. And of course, the rubber bands are in the kitchen. So I got up, I went down the hallway, and there's the cat lying on his back, just inviting you to come scratch his belly. Who can pass that up? So I scratched the cat's back, and 45 minutes later, I got to the kitchen, and then I got to the kitchen, and I thought, why am I in the kitchen? And then I looked around and said, you know, this place could really use a coat of paint. And so stop looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about here. Procrastination. The people who study these things say that 20% of us, one-fifth of us, are chronic procrastinators. That's right. That makes procrastination more common than alcoholism, panic attacks, even than depression. We can define procrastination this way. Procrastination is the voluntary, unnecessary delay of an important task, despite knowing that we'll be worse off if we don't do it. And according to a book written by a man named Dr. Joseph Ferrari, he's a psychology professor at DePaul in Chicago, he says there are three types of procrastinators. So I want to ask you this morning, which type are you? Okay, the first type of procrastinator is called the thrill seeker, okay? And that's the one who craves the rush of putting off tasks until the last minute. Thrill seekers believe they work best under pressure. They believe that they really thrive when they have a deadline. Any thrill seekers out there when it comes to procrastination? Nobody's admitting it. Oh, one or two, okay, there you go. Thank you, Rocco. Then there are the avoiders. Are you an avoider? An avoider are the ones who procrastinate to avoid being judged for how they perform. Avoiders are worried about what other people will think, how they'll be viewed, and put things off because they don't want to do it unless it's perfect. Any avoiders here? Any avoiders? Okay, I see a few more. Okay. Well, we're getting now down to the indecisives. All right, that's the third. These are the ones who sincerely have difficulty making an important or stressful decision because they genuinely can't make up their minds. Oftentimes it's because they can't stop ruminating over all the different choices. Oh my gosh, there's so many choices. Which one do I make? Any indecisives here? Now, I knew my daughter was gonna, when I wrote them, I'm like, she's the indecisive. Now, it's important to mention that procrastinators are not lazy people. The phenomenon is much more complicated than that. Procrastination does not discriminate. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your race or your age. We are all susceptible to procrastination. And if you're like me, you probably saw a little bit of yourself in each one of those three generalizations, those general characterizations. So procrastination, we all tend to do it. What's the solution? Well, there are a lot of different solutions. If you Google this, you will find here are the 9 solutions to procrastination, here are the 10, et cetera. But one of them really stuck out to me. And I think it has to do with our gospel this morning and can help us as we seek to grow in our walk with Jesus. One of the biggest reasons we procrastinate, and one of the biggest, rather, solutions to our procrastinating has to do with recovering a sense of urgency for the task before us. Rediscovering a sense of urgency for the task before us. When we're convinced that something's really important, we can more easily find the motivation to make that task our highest priority. And recovering a sense of urgency for that task may have to do with changing the story that we tell ourselves. Changing the story that we tell ourselves. This morning, you and I find ourselves in the crowd. Did you look at your bulletin covers? That's us in the crowd. There's Jesus and there's us. We're with the disciples and he encounters these three procrastinators. They seem to like Jesus. They seem to know his message. They seem to be attracted to him. But for some reason, they're not 100% in with what Jesus is asking of them. And we may wonder what made them back down from their initial interest. Why are they procrastinating? Why are they putting it off? Now, like you and me, they had a significant encounter with Jesus, enough for them to stop and address his query. Perhaps there was something about his charisma, something about his altruism, something about his kindness, something about his love. And it seems something about him struck a chord with those onlookers, and we wonder why they begged off and put aside what would have been the best decision of their lives, right? How many people, I have this, this relative, and he was back in the old country, and it was probably, I would guess, mid to late 1800s, and he was a dentist, and he was a patron of the arts, and he decided he was going to collect, and so he narrowed it down. I've got two people that I'm really interested in following. One is called Monet, and one is called Desch, and to this day, everyone in my family rues the decision for him to follow Desch. He's not even in Google. I mean, we have all these Desch paintings, you can't find them. How many of us find ourselves in that situation where Jesus is calling us? And what are these three people doing? Well, you know, I got this great recipe for lasagna. They're finding a different reason than to buying Microsoft stock at a dollar. Right, to passing up something like following Jesus. Following Jesus, look at those 12 disciples. Every one of them lived amazing lives. If church is named after, maybe 2,000 years later. But that decision for them to go deeper with Jesus is one that you and I see was never regretted. And so we look at these people who procrastinated. We look at these people who were not interested in going all in with Jesus. And we say, what is it about the urgency of that task that escaped them? And you and I wonder if this has a sense of you and I to rediscover the task of urgency before us, convincing ourselves that the pursuit before us is really important. What is the story about our lives, about God in our lives, that we're telling ourselves that rearranges our priorities and makes us diminish the value of life's most important? And what is life's most important work? It's to walk in the way of love. It's to walk in the way of Jesus. It's to make the priorities that Jesus invites us to make our priorities. And I struggle with it as much as anybody. But this seems to be a message that Jesus is taking to these procrastinating would-be followers. See, I believe that God has a unique and compelling work for you and me to do. Nobody else can do it. Nobody else has a constellation of relationships you have. Nobody else has the gifts that you have. I believe that God has given each one of us unique ideas, unique plans, unique desires, and they are to create, they are to invent, they are to bring something magical and beautiful into the world. Now, because of the world around us, we discount that all the time. Oh, my vote doesn't count. We hear that around election time. Oh, my phone call to so-and-so never will matter. My note to so-and-so won't matter. My presence at the job, showing up on time or not on time, doesn't matter. These are all things I think Jesus would not agree with. I believe that God has given each one of us unique ideas and desires to create, to invent, to bring something beautiful into the world. And I believe that the more effectively we can see things, as God sees us, can we look through Jesus' goggles for a minute and not our own? Because God is probably telling you, you are so invaluable to my plan. I cannot get these things done without your particular constellation of gifts. Remember, the Bible says that a bird can't fall to the ground without God knowing it, that God knows the very number of hairs on your head. This is a God who believes in you and believes that you are worth loving and worth coming down from heaven to live and to die for. I believe the more effectively we see things as God does, to tell ourselves these truths, which are deeply rooted in our faith, the more effective we can be at living the abundant life that that Jesus invites us to live in. You know, not long ago, anybody ever suffer from back pain in here? Yeah, it's like, we all do, okay. It's one of the most common forms of pain there is. So there was a study done not long ago. They took 6,000 people and they enlisted them to look at the efficacy of various treatments available. One of them was acupuncture. And when the results were tallied, acupuncture was reported by these patients to be twice as effective as other cures. But what was really surprising with this study was that what was just effective as real acupuncture was fake acupuncture, okay? There have been many studies done on wine. I know you all drink wine because we're going to have communion, but there have been many studies done on wine, and they're pretty conclusive, leading the American Association of Wine Economists to conclude that when you remove the labels from bottles, virtually nobody can tell the difference between good wine and super expensive wine. In fact, people who study these things say that many of us, when the labels are removed, have a hard time distinguishing between liverwurst, Spam, and dog food. Okay, I won't suggest we do that blind taste test here at church. What I'm saying though, is that labels tell stories. Labels tell stories. All humans, we're narrative beings. We respond to stories. We pattern our lives on stories. And the stories we tell ourselves define us. The point of the sermon today is to ask how the story of Jesus is defining us. Wearing that cruciform label is our job, which is why keeping the story of Jesus in the center of our lives is so important. This is the story that needs to define us, the story that tells us how valuable, how beautiful, how loved and beloved each of us are. This is the narrative that speaks to who we are and why we're here. This is what roots us in our confidence. And this is what roots our confidence, is that we're confident in what God says about us. The three procrastinators, we meet in our gospel, had at one point Jesus in the center of their radar screens. But things got in the way. Different priorities arose and different stories became more important. Different narratives came before them to which they decided they wanted to live into. And Jesus didn't have a lot of patience for this. Did we notice the urgency in this gospel passage? Jesus seems to know his days are numbered. Our days are numbered, folks. We only have so long to do good. And so I don't think Jesus was being rude or belligerent. It's the passion of Frederick Douglass to free slaves, the passion of Dr. King to give all people equal rights, and for you and me to feel the freedom, feel the liberty of God's acceptance and forgiveness towards us, freeing us to be and to do. Recovering our sense of urgency is rooted in this, in knowing that God has work for us to do, and the time to do that work is limited. I have done a number of funerals and been with a number of people as they've died, most of them older. And one comment that I get more than once is, Father, it goes by so fast. It goes by so fast. So what's in the way of us and Jesus in making God's view of us in the world more prevalent today? What needs to go so that more of God can get in? How might we recapture that sense of urgency that our words and our deeds and our lives, they really matter? I love this quote from a 19th century Quaker missionary, a Frenchman, and I'll close with this. I shall pass this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it. For I shall not pass this way again. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. And may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.